Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Inside the Game with Marcus Douglas as your host, Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and Marcus Douglas, Inside the Game, every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Welcome to Inside the Game, and I'm your host again, Marcus Douglas, the one-man wrecking crew. I'm here to inform all of my listeners about the latest and greatest football news. I will say football news because there are some times that we dabble in the college game, but there's not too much going on in the college arena this week, but there is a lot of NFL news going on. Once again, my name is Marcus Douglas, bringing you the latest and greatest NFL news every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And I hope and pray that you guys are doing well and enjoying this beautiful springtime weather. Let's start off with some NFL news. The NFL suspends its TV blackout rule for 2015. And a lot of older fans might know about the blackout rule because whenever there is a game that is not sold out, the NFL had reserved the right to have that game blacked out in the local media. And so there is some good news for fans who aren't able to go out to the games. I know over reading a lot and actually going to a lot of games, to go to an NFL football game will cost you a small fortune. A family of four will have to pay not only for tickets, you have to pay for parking. You also have to pay for some snacks. You can't go to a football game without getting a popcorn, hot dog, or something like that. So just in case you will not make it this year to an NFL game, you can rest assured that your favorite teams will be shown this fall as the NFL looks to suspend that rule. And also, when you talk about blackouts, there was no blackouts that occurred this past season. Once again, that rule was suspended. The last team to have a blackout game were the Bills and Chargers, as they lost the game due to blackouts in their home market in 2013. And the Raiders, the Buccaneers, and the Bengals also lost games in 2012. And so one thing I enjoy doing, I love going to the game, supporting my local team with the Carolina Panthers. But from time to time, when the weather gets cold or when it's just too hot outside or you just have other things to do, turning on the television and seeing your favorite teams really means a lot to the fans. And I'm definitely excited that the NFL has chosen to once again suspend the blackout rule. And so once again, we have a lot of things to talk about on Inside the Game. I have a lot of articles that I want to get to, but first I want to get to a break as we take a quick commercial here on Inside the Game.
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Looks like in the story first reported from Comcast, he's going to be signing with the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are willing to roll the dice. Obviously, they lost Darren McFadden. They have Latavius Murray out there in Oakland. They did sign Roy Helu from Washington. So they're bringing in a different crew of young backs to see if one of them can step forward. And Trent Richardson looks like he's the latest in a line of backs to join the Raiders this offseason. That addition coming today.
You see the Raiders announcing and welcome Trent Richardson to the fold. By the way, Richardson, as you said, replacing Darren McFadden. Those two guys over the last three seasons had the fewest yards per carry. Richardson, the very fewest, second fewest, Darren McFadden, who is now with the Cowboys.
Welcome back to Inside the Game. And that was just a press conference of last week's show, giving everyone an update on Trent Richardson as he looks to take his talent out to the Bay Area, where he is the new running back and possibly starting running back for the Oakland Raiders. And that leads us into our next segment. A lot was made out of the newly NFL veteran combine. You know, when you look at players wanting to get back into the league, a lot of us were not drafted players, or a lot of us have had issues very early on in our careers. And so what the NFL held on last week was their first NFL veteran draft. And so this was a chance for players who have been in the league before, who coaches and scouts wanted to see, to get some updated information on these players, because we all have had our agents call teams and tell teams that we're ready to go. Well, this was a chance for the NFL free agents to prove it. And so the NFL Veteran Combine, hosted last week in Arizona, had some notable names, such as a Michael Sam, former draft pick out of Missouri, who got drafted by the St. Louis Rams. They also had Michael Bush, really big running back who played a lot of years for both the Oakland Raiders and the Chicago Bears. And so when you look at these guys and when you look at the NFL always wanting to find talent, I personally think that this is a great avenue for a younger guy who maybe did not fit, you know, did not have the right fit on his team, to really get another look at the NFL. There have been mixed reviews about the crop of talent that were there. When you look at a Brady Quinn, a young man who came out of Notre Dame a number of years ago, he looks to kind of reignite his career. And a quarterback is a little different, because you're not wanting those guys to run a 40-yard dash or do a bench press test. All they have to do is come out there and throw and make sure that they're on point and on target with their wide receivers. And so when you talk about some notable names that were there, once again, we went through those names. But those names, those players did not fare too well. When you talk about Michael Bush, he was definitely disappointed in his 40-yard dash time running. I believe it was a 4.9 and a 40-yard dash. Michael Sam was clocked at a 5.07 in his second unofficial 40-yard dash time. And so when you talk about being ready for a team, whenever you are brought to camp, whenever you are brought in during the season, you want to make sure that there's no drop-off, that when coaches see you, when coaches work you out, they want to know that you are in shape and you can be an asset to this team. And so the jury's still out on whether any players will be signed, but it's one thing I do know is that we have tons of news here for you on Inside the Game. We're going to go over our weekly mock draft, and it's you know, there have been some changes at the top. when you talk about the first two picks, and a lot of people still have Jameis Winston going number one pick overall, and Marcus Mariota following quickly behind him. But you will have to stay tuned to find out where your favorite college players are slated to be drafted on this week, and we will do that right after the break here on Inside the Game.
This show is brought to you by Michael Snell and GBSClothiers.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and right now we are going to go over our third mock draft of the season. Yes, it is that time again. We sit right now a little over a month into the NFL draft. A lot of teams, a lot of coaches, a lot of scouts are going to be on campus. They're going to be working out their potential first, second, through seventh round draft picks. But like I said, all the time, a lot of talent can be found in free agency. A lot of talent can be found in the later rounds. But right now, we're going to go over our first round mock draft. This is our third time doing it, and when we did it before, we got a lot of responses for people wanted to know who are their teams looking at, what players should their teams go after, should we trade up, should we move back, what should we do? And right now, we're going to go over the mock draft. I will break it down into sections because, you know, I think a lot of times we rush over important information. And a lot of these teams that sit at the top positions of the draft, they need some big-time help. And let's face it, if they don't get it, you will see changes not only in players, but you will see changes with the coaching staff, because we all get paid to win games. I think Herm Edwards summed it up the best. You play to win the game. And on a little bit more than a month away, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will have the crucial decision on whether or not whether to draft Jameis Winston or whether to pass on him. We've already talked about Jameis Winston a lot of times on this show. He is a 2013 Heisman Trophy winner. He is considered to be the perfect fit to run Lovie Smith's offense down there in Tampa. These guys have struggled to maintain that quarterback position, struggled to maintain the face of the franchise. We know about them, the talent that they've had in the years past, but those guys are no longer on the team. A guy like Derek Brooks, he's no longer there. Who is the face of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? In my mock draft that I pulled up today off NFL Draft, once again, we'd like to give you guys accurate, on-time information. Still has Jameis Winston going first to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's look at number two. Ken Whisenhunt made news today when he said that if they do draft Marcus Mariota second overall, he will start for the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans have struggled to replace the likes of Steve McNair, and I will even say Vince Young, because Vince Young was a winner. But Marcus Mariota right now has been rumored, but not slotted in our number two spot. Right now, the Tennessee Titans are looking to help their defense out and getting Leonard Williams from USC into the fold. Big LeBeau is handling things now for the Tennessee defense. And so that has a lot of people in Nashville very excited, because these guys can somewhat move the ball with Zach Mettenberger behind the center. He has a big arm, young man who came over from LSU. And, you know, some people would say he had a background like a Jameis Winston because he first went to the University of Georgia where he was a local product, got in some trouble at Georgia, but transitioned to LSU to where he revived his college career, and now he looks to hold on to his spot with the Tennessee Titans. And so if Tennessee Titans goes Williams at number two, right now pick at number three is Dante Fowler. Let's face it, Gus Bradley needs to win right now in Jacksonville. When you talk about galvanizing that fan base, getting your fans into the stadium, putting a product on the field that you can be proud of, they look to go defense by drafting Dante Fowler, Jr., out of Florida, outside linebacker. I know that will make our contributor, Princess, very happy to know that a Florida graduate is slated to be taken so high. And number four, we're going to stop at number five before we take our commercial break. Number four, when you look at Al Davis, when you look at Jack Del Rio, they like hard-nosed players. Al Davis, for years when he was alive, always pick players on their athletic talent, not necessarily what they did on the field. But right now, the first wide receiver slated to go off the board is Kevin White out of West Virginia, wide receiver. He is a big, athletic, pass-catching target. He can run with the best of them. I believe his 40 time in the draft a couple months ago was a 4.3 at 6'3", 220 pounds. And so he looks to give Carr, the quarterback, a viable weapon in the offense to shore up things on that side of the ball. And we'll stop here at number five before the break. The Washington Redskins for years now have needed substantial help on defense. When you lose a London Fletcher, when you lose, this overall talented guy, and you don't draft well, that shows up on the front seven. And so which way do they go? Well, right now they look select Randy Gregory, outside linebacker out of Nebraska. Scott McLuhan is the new GM right now with the Washington Redskins, and he looks to build his defense in order to support RG3 and that offensive side of the ball. And so when you talk about the first five teams, we're going to come back after the commercial break and give you our picks for the next five teams. But once again, we would always love to hear from you guys. You guys can check our Facebook page. We're always on there dialoguing with our fans because we want to know what you guys are thinking about. And maybe you guys can give us your selection on the draft coming up a little bit more than a month away. So stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game.
This show is brought to you by Michael Snell and GBSClothiers.com. Okay, we are listening to Inside the Game with Marcus Douglas as your host. Never Had It So Good Sports Media presents Inside the Game. Marcus Douglas, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Just taking a small break.
Welcome back to Inside the Game. I had to cut my commercial break short because I just have so much information to give you guys. When you talk about the Colts, we're going to take a quick break, a pause from our mock draft, but I promise to get back to it, and maybe we will go past number 10 because I know there are a lot of fans out there other than the top 10 teams who want to know what their teams are thinking about during the draft and who we should pick. When you talk about the Colts made news today and said the Luck, Andrew Luck extension won't come this offseason. A lot of people right now are looking at Russell Wilson. They're saying, you know what, we want him to set the bar. When you talk about a Cam Newton, when you talk about a RG3, when you talk about Andrew Luck, I mean, let's face it, Luck here is the belle of the ball. Possibly Cam Newton will set a high number. But right now, the Colts owner, Jim Irsay, they're saying that right now contract talks for Andrew Luck are on hold. Andrew Luck is a free agent, will be a free agent this summer of 2017, but most likely will avoid free agency because, as we all know, the Indianapolis Colts, they love to keep good quarterbacks around. And Luck has eclipsed 4,000. Passing yards the last two out of three seasons. He is what you want in a younger quarterback. So when you talk about news in the NFL, we are always giving you guys the news that you can use. Also, read an interesting article today about Chris Boylan, the young man who we spoke about on last week who decided to call it quits after 1 year in the NFL. He was a linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. And I read this headline that really made me want to read this article. It says in the headline, it's Chris Boylan, a new definition of football toughness. Many people paid their respects to Chuck Bednarik, who was 89 years old on last year, who was a long-time player for the Philadelphia Eagles who passed away on last week. He was known as a tough guy. He was an everyday lunch pail kind of guy. But now when you look at the new age players, Chris Boylan, Patrick Willis, some other guys have stepped away from the game earlier than they would like to because, number one, it's all about the health. I mean, let's face it, we all retire. We all become older players. You don't get better. You know, you don't get finer with age. And more importantly, your families and your friends depend on you to be around. And so when you look at Chris Boylan hanging it up, his retirement has really struck a chord with a lot of people. But at the same time, like I've always said before, you have to take matters into your own hands when you're a professional athlete. And he tasted what it's like to be in the NFL, but his dreams of off-the-field success have superseded his dreams of on-field success. And so we wish him well here at Inside the Game. And we will continue on with our news. Russell Wilson, news came today. Russell Wilson is preparing for this football season, but is also preparing to play out his rookie deal. When you talk about Russell Wilson, you know, here's a young man who was drafted in not the first round, but the second round. And so his deal expires sooner than an RG3 or an Andrew Luck's deal would expire. When you talk about RG3 and Andrew Luck, those first-round guys have clauses in their contract. So if RG3 has a bounce-back season, the Washington Redskins can therefore pick up his fifth-year option. And so when you talk about Russell Wilson, what he means to the Seattle, what he means to that 12th man, we really hope and pray that they can get things worked out, because let's face it, it will be hard to look at Russell Wilson in a different uniform, and it's time for the Seattle Seahawks to pay him. I'm pretty sure a friend of the program, Emerson Martin, will say the same thing. He's taking you to two Super Bowls. He's proven to be a winner. And so despite the report of him being close to signing, nothing is reported to being close as far as Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks coming close to a deal. We reported in weeks past that he is willing to give the Seattle Seahawks a hometown discount if he had a fully guaranteed deal. And this is something that I want to see happen, because far too many times, my AD used to say it all the time, we see the ESPN deals, we get so excited that a player is going to make over $100 million. Well, trust me, not too many people make over $100 million. That's why that guaranteed portion of those contracts is so important to players. And Russell Wilson is set to make history, as he looks to be one of the elite quarterbacks to have his contract fully guaranteed. And so that's just a little bit of news here on Inside the Game. But right now, before we go back into our mock draft, we're going to take a quick commercial break, get some water, but come back with some new NFL news that you can use here on Inside the Game.
When I was in the NFL, I would use towels similar to dry towel, but they were made out of cotton, so they weren't as effective. So what happens is you have to change the towel probably two or three times a game. The absorption rate is greater than any cotton towel you ever see on the market. What I love about the dry towel is that it absorbs sweat and moisture so well that you don't really have to change it throughout the course of a game. Not three or four like I used to use on the course of a game to keep everything dry and intact. Also, for you guys who wear mouthpieces, little pocket for your mouthpiece so you don't have to stick it in your helmet. You don't have to keep track of it. You know, in the course of a game, your hands are going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. You don't want to put your mouthpiece in your hands a whole lot, so it's a nice little pocket. After the play, you put it there. Right before you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you grab it back. Bam, it's right there. I used to like to wipe my hands off so I wouldn't fumble the football, you know, to make sure my grip was straight. This would have been perfect. Everything is sealed. Everything is right here on my right-hand side. Easily accessible, I can grab it, pop it in, I'm done.
Welcome back Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. I just have so much news to give to you guys, but I want to be a man of my word. I want to get back to this mock draft, and we'll do the final five teams that are in the first round. And if we have time later in the show, I will get back and add into some more teams. When you talk about Todd Bowles trying to make his stamp in New York, he looks to do that. His mock draft has him going with outside linebacker from Clemson, Vic Beasley. Here's a young man who is explosive. He would look good in a gangrene uniform, I think. And so Todd Bowles and the Jets are looking to go to short things on the defensive side, perhaps so they can get to a Tom Brady and make a strong run in that AFC division. Number seven, the Chicago Bears are looking to go wide receiver with Brandon Marshall exiting out of town. Now under the tutelage of Todd Bowles, Amari Cooper is slated to go as a second wide receiver off the board to the Chicago Bears. And, you know, pick number eight, when you talk about, you know, what does Atlanta need? Atlanta needs some tough, hard-nosed playing guys. And look no further than Missouri's defensive end, Shane Ray. Is he slotted right here to go in our mock draft in number 8 position to the Atlanta Falcons. Let's look at number 9. Number 9, the New York Jets are looking safety as Antrell Roll is no longer a member of the Giants, but he's a member of the Chicago Bears. They look to bring in Alabama safety Landon Collins. And here's the pick that everybody is talking about. The number 10 pick, St. Louis. What direction is St. Louis going? They've traded for Nick Foles, no longer has Sam Bradford. And so what do they do? A lot of people have them really taking a nice, hard, long look at Marcus Mariota. Some people have them going safety. But I am just going to circle in a playmaker. They need a playmaker on the offensive side of the ball. Kenny Britt is a phenomenal wide receiver, but they need to keep their quarterbacks upright. I know they made a big splash in the draft last year with drafting the big offensive lineman out of Auburn. His name escapes me right now. But when you talk about St. Louis, they need help on both sides of the ball because, let's face it, when you play the Seattle Seahawks, when you play the 49ers, you have to go up against the Arizona Cardinals. You need playmakers. And there's one thing that we can say about those teams that I just named. They have playmakers, it seems like, virtually every position. And so if St. Louis wants to get to this playoffs, they need to draft a really good player. Number 11, when you look at all the talk that's going on in Minnesota nowadays, they look to make a big splash in their new stadium by bringing in cornerback Michigan State, Trey Waynes. He is a big cornerback, runs good. He's great on bump and run coverage. Mike Zimmer wants a ultra-athletic cornerback to man his corners. When you talk about Xavier Rhodes already being enfolded, Minnesota, Trey Waynes will be a really good addition to this underperforming, I think, Vikings defense. Let's look at pick number 12. When you talk about what do the Dallas Cowboys, what do the Cleveland Browns need? Well, they need somebody to stop that run in the middle. So right now, Danny Shelton, big nose tackle out of Washington, is slated to go there. So there you have it. You have 12 teams out of me before we break into some more NFL news. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break, get me another drink of water, and I promise to be back with some great NFL news and hopefully some groundbreaking news when we return here on Inside the Game. Welcome back to Inside the Game. Once again, I'm in the studio. You can call in. Our guest call-in number is 713-955-0710. Once again, our guest call-in number is 713-955-0710. So let's get into some NFL news. Like I've always tell you guys, I love scouring the wire, my websites, to find news that you can use. The Jets continue to build their defense by signing Stephen Bowen on today, formerly of the Redskins, big defensive end. Todd Bowles is going to play a 3-4 defense, and so he looks to kind of get off the snide, if you will. We talk about resurrecting his career, because right now he had an injury-plagued season on last year, limited to only 8 games by a knee injury. He only played 243 snaps on last year. And so Todd Bowles continues to add size and depth to that defensive line unit. The Browns are also making news in 2 ways. And some will say this might be a good thing. The Browns have informed NFL fans and HBO that they do not want any parts of Hard Knocks. I mean, let's face it. The Browns would have been good must-see TV. When you talk about all the things that they've been dealing with this offseason, not only are you talking about Texgate, not only are you talking about your number one draft pick of 2014 being in rehab, these guys would have made for some great television. But at the same time, the owner has stepped up and said, you know what, our problems are internal. We need to fix this before we broadcast ourselves to the world. And so one thing you have to say about Jimmy Haslam, this could be a move in the right direction. And so once again, here on Inside the Game, we're giving you the news. You don't have to look around anywhere else. All you have to do is tune in every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. As you guys see, I love giving and breaking stories here on Inside the Game. And you can let me know what you want to talk about on our Facebook page at Inside the Game. You can message me there or leave your suggestions. We will be more than happy to read them. Also, and I kind of alluded to this before, Ken Whisenhunt, and I don't know if coaches are just blowing smoke this time of the year, but he said if he were drafted second overall, he would start. And you know what? This comes as a big surprise because we know in and out the season last year, Zach Mettenberger stepped up and played well for the Tennessee Titans at times. He definitely showed arm strength. He definitely showed that he is an NFL caliber quarterback. But at the same time, he did end up hurt on last year. And so they need to do something in Nashville to kind of rally that fan base. And so when you have a head coach talking about maybe Mariota at number 2, I'm pretty sure the Tennessee Titans fans love that. Also, in Baltimore Ravens news, there was no more updates given on Dennis Pitta at the league winter meetings on today. When you talk about John Harbaugh addressing his team's future, Pitta's future is definitely up in the air at this point, going through his second fractured hip during the 2014 season. When he is healthy, he is one of the most dangerous pass-catching tight ends in the league. But you have to wonder, when will the injuries begin to be too much for him to overcome? And so when you talk about Dennis Pitta, we wish him the best, but at the same time, taking a page out of Chris Borland's book, life is bigger than football. Football is a heck of a game, but at the same time, John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome, those guys remain optimistic on Dennis Pitta's future. And so when you talk about things to keep your eye on, you can definitely keep your eye on Dennis Pitta in Baltimore. Joe Philbin made news this week talking about Deion Jordan. They're trying to limit his role and focusing him on playing only defensive end. I mean, let's face it. And I'm going to break away from the news right quick and stand on my soapbox. I remember a young 20-year-old coming in from Arizona to the Baltimore Ravens, and he came in our meeting room, and Rex Ryan, who was the defensive coordinator at that time, chose to make him a defensive end. Not an every down player. He was a third down pass rushing machine, and he has turned into one of the most feared defenders in the NFL, and he goes by the name of T-Sizzle. I was in Baltimore when he was drafted, and it was phenomenal to see the way they brought him along, the same way they did Peter Bulware, the same way they did Adelius Thomas. All of these guys are Pro Bowlers. And the reason why they did this, because they realized the unique talent that they had with these guys, but they didn't want to distort it by making them learn too much. I mean, let's face it, Deion Jordan is a defensive end. He is a smaller player. He is cut from the same cloth as a Jason Taylor is. And so you have to consider all the changes that are going on in Miami with them bringing in Ndamukong Suh, with them getting Mike Wallace out of town. This is a step in the right direction because they have now really examined his talents, and hopefully he can kind of jumpstart his NFL career because coming out of Oregon, he was touted as being a freakish kind of athlete, but no one knew what position he truly was going to play. And so when you talk about moves that's being made, there are stories that are always being talked about. We're going to talk about them here at Inside the Game, and we're also going to give you news that you can use. But also feel free to call in anytime to the show. Our guest hotline number is 713-955-0710. Once again, that's 713-955-0710. So stay tuned as we go to a quick commercial break here on Inside the Game.
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
I love that commercial break. Once again, welcome back to Inside the Game, and our time is almost up, and I'm sitting here with all these papers of information to give you guys. But one thing that I want to talk about are the tweaks in the NFL catch rule. It was stated earlier this week on yesterday that the NFL is trying to tweak the rules so they can be more, they can give clearer, a clear picture on what it is to catch a football. And I was reading an article today, and it says that a player must clearly establish himself as a runner. In years past, the player instead needed to make a football move. But what qualifies oneself as a runner in a field of play, and how does a receiver make a football rule? The one thing I would say to the NFL, if I had the chance to kind of to give them some insight, is that when you're on a football field and you have the ball, everything you do is a football move. And so a lot of things were made, a lot of cases were made about Dez Bryant, the Dez Bryant rule, the Megatron rule. Well, what about when players are forced out? Dean Blandino, head of the VP of officiating for the NFL, they're trying to get a concise answer on what does it mean to make a catch. And so these guys are busy out in Arizona. Well, I'm busy in Charlotte chatting with my fans here on Inside the Game, breaking news, as we sit and talk just a little bit about the offseason, what your favorite teams are doing, and also when you talk about your favorite teams, you know, this young man I'm about to talk about came into the NFL on last year being a first-round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns. He's really had a hard time at it. I don't feel sorry for anyone. Johnny Manziel told NFL officials that he was going to change, and let's face it, he took matters into his own hands early in the year when he checked himself into rehab. And the Browns fans can be excited because he is expected back at April workouts. And he has been in rehab now ever since the latter part of January, beginning of February. And so going into April, he looks to have a clear picture in his mind on who he wants to be as an NFL coach, as an NFL player. And Mike Patton confirmed this information on just a couple hours ago. And so as you guys can see, we always have the latest, greatest breaking news here in the NFL. There have been several issues in Cleveland with Ray Farmer texting coaches during the games, which is a big no-no. That penalty has yet to come down. But when you look at some positive moves, I believe that, you know, in order to go forward, sometimes you have to take a step backwards. So maybe Hard Knocks is not the best thing for you right now. Maybe it's not the best thing for me right now to try to handle my addictions on my own. So let me take a step back so I can move a couple steps forward. And so I do think you see some positive moves out of the Cleveland Browns. I know Mike Patton personally. I think that by bringing in Josh McCown, this will kind of stabilize their quarterback position. Not that he's going to be a playoff quarterback, but at the same time, he is a very good player. He is a capable player, and hopefully you can only imagine what him being in the room can do for Johnny Manziel. And so when you talk about some news out of Cleveland, when you talk about some news out of the winter meetings, we cover all of that here on Inside the Game. And so stay tuned with us because I want to get back to this mock draft and see if we can't work our way up to possibly all 32 teams. Yes, I said it, all 32 teams here on Inside the Game after this short commercial break. Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. We only have minutes left, and so I wanted to dive back into our mock draft. This is our third mock draft that we've done. As I said before earlier in the show, our draft is upon us, only being a little bit over a month away. And I want to let you guys know who your teams are thinking about drafting. I will work my way through this list. So if I get long-winded and I don't have any more time to get back to the NFL news that I love to read, I will definitely post this on my Facebook page at Inside the Game. So you guys can go there and check it out and jot me down a message and let me know what you're thinking. Number 13 on the list, we left off at number 12, being the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns look to help the defensive side of the ball out. They've already added some pass catchers on the offensive side of the ball, and Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline. They've added someone to get the receivers to the ball, and Josh McCown. And so Ray Farmer is looking to do his best in year two in Cleveland. A lot has been said about the New Orleans Saints. They basically sold off their whole team to the highest bidders. They were in cap purgatory. When you talk about them being able to move around free agency, they have restructured deals. They have not restructured some deals. And a lot of people are saying that Drew Brees' time in New Orleans is numbered. But Sean Payton said on today at the winter meetings that Drew Brees will be the starting quarterback. He does not envision moving up for Marcus Mariota. But right now, our mock draft has the New Orleans Saints going Marcus Mariota in the first round. Devontae Parker, Louisville wide receiver, looks to go pick 14 to the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are gearing up to really give Ryan Tannehill what he needs. They've lost Charles Clay to the division rival Buffalo Bills. They bring in the Kenny Steeles from New Orleans. And so they look to give Ryan Tannehill and Coach Fieldman down there some pass catchers on the outside to complement their signal caller in Ryan Tannehill. Let's go number 15. Where else can the San Francisco 49ers go? They need to shore up their front seven. They also need help on the back end. But right now, with the loss of Mike Iupati going to the Arizona Cardinals, Trent Baalke and those guys out there in California look to shore up things on that offensive line, bringing in the big man, Brandon Sheriff. I don't know if I said that right, but I think it's Sheriff out of Iowa. And so when you look at the draft, when you look at how do you win that NFC West, you do it, first of all, up front. If you cannot stop those pass-rushing defensive linemen for Seattle, if you cannot give your quarterback time enough to throw the ball, you're not going to win that division. And if you want to get back to the playoffs, you must protect your quarterback. Let's go to number 16, Kevin Johnson, out of Wake Forest, cornerback, Houston Texans. Number 17, Melvin Gordon, wide receiver. Running back out of Wisconsin, Ryan Matthews exits the San Diego Chargers for the Philadelphia Eagles. He will team up with DeMarco Murray, who left Dallas for greener pastures in Philadelphia. And this is an interesting pick. DGB, Green Beckham, is slated to go to the Kansas City Chiefs, despite having Jeremy Maclin. The Chiefs' number one priority with that offense is to provide Alex Smith with some weapons. So just like Miami did with Ryan Tannehill, they need to give Alex Smith some weapons. And what better way to do that than a Green Beckham, big wide receiver out of Missouri. And so when you talk about some teams doing some big things, number 19 – are the Cleveland Browns, Miami, Eric Flowers, offensive lineman. Number 20, Jalen Collins, LSU, going to the Philadelphia Eagles. When you look at 21, Stanford offensive lineman, Andrews Pete, big guy. He is a possible replacement for longtime starter Andrew Wentworth. This is a great move because, like I said earlier in the show, we only get older as players. We don't get better. You can get better to somewhat, but physically, once you get past a certain age, I believe it's only a matter of time before Father Time, you know, that bill comes due. Number 22, Marcus Peters, as University of Washington quarterback, cornerback as the Steelers look to provide depth and toughness for that secondary. No more Ike Taylor, possibly some others on the outs there in Pittsburgh. DJ Humphreys, Florida, offensive tackle, going to the Lions. Number 24, Bud Dupree, Kentucky outside linebacker. Ex-Wildcat is a spectacular athlete. He has explosive speed and power. I watched this guy on film. He does it all and can bring a lot to a hybrid defense with the Arizona Cardinals. Number 25, hometown team, T.J. Clemens, Pittsburgh, offensive tackle. Byron Bell is no longer in town. They need to keep Cam Newton safe on the edges. Clemens is a developmental prospect, but he has the length and size to play offensive tackle. Let's look at number 26. Although they resigned their running back, the Baltimore Ravens are looking at Todd Gurley, running back out of Georgia, who tore his ACL his senior year. And if he lasts number 26, the Baltimore Ravens could potentially have a top five pick fall to them at 26. He is a bruising-style running back. I mean, let's face it, for the last 2 years in college football, football show, and you will see Todd Gurley just getting it done on Saturdays. And the Baltimore Ravens are still looking to replace Ray Rice and what he meant to their organization, and they look to do so in Todd Gurley. Let's look at number 27, the Dallas Cowboys, Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle out of Texas. The Cowboys need a dominant defensive lineman. When you talk about how they love to play, Rob Marinelli is cut from that Tampa Bay Buccaneers-style defense where it's very much dictated upon what you can do up front. And so when you talk about the mock draft, we're not going to get into anybody else because I do want to take a quick break before I close. And when I say quick, I do mean quick. So stay tuned as we end our show here on Inside the Game.
When I was in the NFL, I would use towels similar to dry towel, but they were made out of cotton, so they weren't as effective. So what happens is you have to change the towel probably two or three times a game. The absorption rate is greater than any cotton towel you ever see on the market. What I love about the dry towel is that it absorbs sweat and moisture so well that you don't really have to change it throughout the course of a game, not three or four like I used to use on the course of a game to keep everything dry and intact. Also, for you guys who wear mouthpieces, little pocket for your mouthpiece so you don't have to stick it in your helmet. You don't have to keep track of it. You know, in the course of a game, your hands are going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. You don't want to put your mouthpiece in your hands a whole lot, so it's a nice little pocket. After the play, you put it there. Right before you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you grab it back. Bam, it's right there. I used to like to wipe my hands off so I wouldn't fumble the football.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I just wanted to end us off with some news. J.J. Watt restructures his contract with the Houston Texans to provide salary cap room. He is not losing any money. His $10 million roster bonus will be turned into a signing bonus as they look to still improve their team with the Houston Texans. Adrian Peterson, a lot has been said about Adrian Peterson, and I will end with this. Whenever you have a young man who's as talented as Adrian Peterson, you want him on your team. But at the same time, there has to be a point where Mike Zimmer and that coaching staff up there in Minnesota, they have to realize that, you know what, it's a lost cause at this point. I think Adrian Peterson's best chance at success is to stay home. As a player, as a defensive player, you are taught to have a short memory. And so when you talk about cementing your legacy, I think the best place for Adrian Peterson will be to stay in Minnesota. You can only hope that those guys can get on the same page, because if the Minnesota Vikings lose Adrian Peterson, they will lose an awesome player. That is our time here on Inside the Game. Thank you guys for listening in, and we're here all day, every day on Tuesday. So just stay here with us.